And now it is for a couple of reasons that I share this information with you. First off, the Passion reading is a reading that is perhaps the most poignant we have as Christians that talks about the journey that Christ took on our behalf. Secondly, it's a very long reading. Thirdly, there's an hour that Lutherans like to hold to be able to get out of church, and I would violate that. And so, in lieu of a sermon, we're going to offer a dramatic reading of the Passion story for you this day. You'll find in your bulletin that there are hymn verses that are marked with a musical note. The line that is above that hymn verse is the closing line of the reading we're doing leading into there, but I will still announce the verses for you. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. One of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went off to the chief priests and said,
"What are you willing to give me if I hand Jesus over to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he kept looking for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came up to Jesus and said,
"Where do you wish us to prepare the Passover supper for you?"
"Go to this man in the city and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. I am to celebrate the Passover with my disciples in your house.'"
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover supper. When it grew dark, he reclined at table with the 12. In the course of the meal, he said,
"I give you my word, one of you is about to betray me."
Distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another,
"Surely it is not I, Lord."
"The man who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will hand me over. The Son of Man is departing, as the Scripture says of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Better for him if he had never been born."
Then Judas, his betrayer, spoke,
"Surely it is not I, Rabbi."
"It is you who have said it."
During the meal, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples.
"Take this and eat it. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them.
"All of you must drink from it, for this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, to be poured out in behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink this fruit of the vine from now until the day I drink new wine with you in my Father's reign."
Then after singing songs of praise, they walked out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus then said to them,
"Tonight your faith in me will be shaken, for Scripture has it, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed. But after I am raised up, I will go to Galilee ahead of you."
And then Peter responded,
"Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be shaken."
"I give you my word, before the cock crows tonight, you will deny me 3 times.
"Even though I have to die with you, I will never disown you."
And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went to them to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples,
"Stay here while I go over there and pray."
Let us sing. Along with Peter and Zebedee's 2 sons, and began to experience sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
"My heart is nearly broken with sorrow. Remain here and stay awake with me."
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer.
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by. Still, let it be as you would have it, not as I."
When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"So you could not stay awake with me for even an hour? Be on guard and pray that you may not undergo trial. The spirit is willing, but nature is weak."
Withdrawing a second time, he began to pray.
"My Father, if this cannot pass me by without my drinking it, your will be done."
Once more on his return, he found them asleep. They could not keep their eyes open. He left them again, withdrew somewhat, and began to pray a third time, saying the same words as before. Finally, he returned to his disciples and said to them,
"Sleep on now. Enjoy your rest. The hour is on us when the Son of Man is to be handed over to the power of evil men. Get up. Let us be on our way. See, my betrayer is here."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived accompanied by a great crowd with swords and with clubs. They had been sent by the chief priests and elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged to give them a signal, saying,
"The man I shall embrace is the one. Take hold of him."
He immediately went over to Jesus and said to him,
"Peace, Rabbi,"
and embraced him. Jesus answered,
"Do what you are here for, friend."
At that moment, they stepped forward to lay hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and slashed at the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Jesus said to him,
"Put back your sword where it belongs. Those who use the sword are sooner or later destroyed by it. Do you not suppose I can call on my Father to provide at a moment's notice more than 12 legions of angels? But then, how would the scriptures be fulfilled which say it must happen this way?"
At that very time, Jesus said to the crowd,
"Am I a brigand that you have come armed with swords and clubs to arrest me? From day to day I sat teaching in the temple precincts, yet you never arrested me. Nonetheless, all this has happened in fulfillment of the writing of the prophets."
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had apprehended Jesus led him off to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were convened. Peter kept following him at a distance, as far as the high priest's residence. Going inside, he sat down with the guards to see the outcome.
Let us sing. Priests with the whole Sanhedrin were busy trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They discovered none, despite the fact that many false witnesses took the stand. Finally, two came forward who stated,
"This man has declared I can destroy God's sanctuary and rebuild it in 3 days.
The high priest rose to his feet and addressed him,
"Have you no answer to the testimony leveled against you?"
But Jesus remained silent. The high priest then said to him,
"I order you to tell us under oath, before the living God, whether you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
"It is you who say it. But I tell you this, soon you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.
At this, the high priest tore his robes.
He has blasphemed. What further need have we of a witness? Remember, you heard the blasphemy. What is your verdict?
And they answered, he deserves death. Then they began to spit in his face and hit him. Others slapped him, saying,
play the prophet for us, Messiah. Who struck you?
Peter was sitting in the courtyard when one of those serving girls came over to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it in front of everyone.
I don't know what you are talking about.
When he went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those nearby, this man was with Jesus the Nazarene. Again, he denied it with an oath.
I don't know the man.
A little while later, while some bystanders came over to Peter and said to him, certainly you are one of them. Even your accent gives you away. At that, he began cursing and swore,
I don't even know the man.
Just then a rooster began to crow. And Peter remembered the prediction that Jesus had made. Before the rooster crows, you will three times disown me. He went out and began to weep bitterly. At daybreak, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took formal action against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him and led him away to be handed over to the procurator, Pilate. Then Judas, who handed him over, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, began to regret his action deeply. He took the 30 pieces of silver back to the chief priests and the elders and said,
I did wrong to deliver up an innocent man.
They retorted, what is that to us? It is your affair. So Judas flung the money into the temple and left. He went off and he hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the silver, observing,
it is not right to deposit this in the temple treasury since it is blood money.
After consultation, they used it to buy the potter's field as a cemetery for foreigners. That is why that field, even today, is called Blood Field. On that occasion, what was said through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me. Jesus was arraigned before the procurator who questioned him.
Are you the king of the Jews?
Yet, when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no reply. Then Pilate said to him,
surely you hear how many charges they bring against you.
He did not answer him on a single count, much to the procurator's surprise. Now, on the occasion of a festival, the procurator was accustomed to release one prisoner whom the crowd would designate. They had at that time a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. Since they were already assembled, Pilate said to them,
which one do you wish me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, the so-called Messiah?
He knew, of course, that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was still presiding on the bench, his wife sent him a message.
Not interfere in the case of that holy man. I had a dream about him today, which has greatly upset me.
Meanwhile, the chief priests and elders convinced the crowds that they should ask for Barabbas and have Jesus put to death. So they went to the procurator and they asked him,
which one do you wish me to release for you?
They answered, Barabbas.
Then what am I to do with Jesus, the so-called Messiah?
Crucify him!
Why? What crime has he committed?
But they only shouted the louder, crucify him! Pilate finally realized that he was making no impression and that a riot was breaking out instead. He called for water, and he washed his hands in front of the crowd, declaring as he did so,
"I am innocent of the blood of this just man. The responsibility is yours."
The whole people said in reply, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." At that, he released Barabbas to them. Jesus, however, he first had scourged. Then he handed him over to be crucified. The procurator's soldiers took Jesus aside in the praetorium and collected the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and wrapped him in a scarlet military cloak, weaved a crown of thorns and fixed it to his head, and stuck a reed in his right hand. Then they began to mock him by dropping to their knees before him, saying,
"All hail, King of the Jews!"
They also spat at him. Afterward, they took hold of the reed and kept striking him on the head. Finally, when they had finished making a fool of him, they stripped him of his cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucifixion. On their way out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man had been pressed into service to carry the cross. Upon arriving at a site called Golgotha, a name which means skull place, they gave him a drink of wine flavored with gall, which he tasted, but he refused to drink.
When they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among them by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Above his head, they had put the charge against him in writing, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Two insurgents were crucified along with him, one at his right and one at his left.
Let us sing. Going by kept insulting him, tossing their heads and saying, "So, you're the one who was going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself, why don't you? Come down off that cross if you are God's son." The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders also joined in the jeering.
"He saved others, but he cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel. Let's see him come down from the cross. Then we will believe in him. He relied on God. Let God rescue him now if he wants. After all, he claimed, 'I am God's son.'"
The insurgents who had been crucified with him kept taunting him in the same way. From noon onward, there was darkness over the whole land until mid-afternoon. Then, toward mid-afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud tone,
"Elohi, Elohi, lema sabachthani?
My God, why have you forsaken me?"
This made some of the bystanders who heard it remark,
"He is invoking Elijah."
Immediately one of them ran off and got a sponge. He soaked it in a cheap wine and, sticking it on a reed, tried to make him drink. Meanwhile, the rest said,
"Leave him alone. Let's see whether Elijah comes to his rescue."
Once again, Jesus cried out in a loud voice and then gave up his spirit. Let us sing. suddenly, the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After Jesus' resurrection, they came forth from their tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and his men who were keeping watch over Jesus were terror-stricken at seeing the earthquake and all that was happening and said,
"Clearly, this was the Son of God."
Many women were present looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to attend to his needs.
Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons.
When evening fell, a wealthy man from Arimathea arrived, Joseph by name. He was another of Jesus' disciples and had gone to request the body of Jesus. Therefore, Pilate issued an order for its release.
Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in a fresh linen and laid it in his own new tomb, which had been hewn from formation of rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance of the tomb and went away. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there, facing the tomb.
The next day, the one following the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees called at Pilate's residence.
"Sir, we have recalled that impostor, while he was still alive, made the claim, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' You should issue an order having the tomb kept under surveillance until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. This final imposture would be worse than the first."
Pilate told them, "You have a guard. Go and secure the tomb as best you can." So they went and kept it under the surveillance of the guard after fixing a seal to the stone. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.